Good morning. Good morning. I'd like to talk this morning about where the river flows. And I want to talk about from a passage in the Old Testament in Ezekiel, which is actually one of the most, I find it one of the most amazing passages of scripture in the Bible. And people interpret it in different ways. One of the wonderful things about the Bible is it's many layered. And so you could have a passage of scripture that's talking about something that's going to happen way in the future. And yet everything in the Bible that it says is here for our instruction. And so this is like a wonderful parable of all sorts of things in our lives. And I think what I want to focus on this morning is really kind of what's important in our lives and in our church life. I think it's so exciting. We're at a very exciting stage here at Bassett Street Church where it's like, you know, we've arrived in some ways and yet we've arrived ready for the future. And this all depends on the Holy Spirit. And so this passage is, the thing that links this passage is this river that runs through everything. And it's a picture of the Holy Spirit. And we need him so much more than we realize, don't we? So as I read this out to you, I want you to think through the parables, the pictures that there are in this passage. And today, as we look at this, we think about how this applies to us in our lives. So let's just pray, shall we? Actually, why don't we just stand and pray? Father, I want to thank you that your word says that what God does lasts forever. What we do doesn't last very long, but what you do lasts forever. And Lord, we acknowledge that you are God and everything depends on you. Jesus, you are the head of the church. You are the foundation, you are the capstone, you are the architect and the builder. You are the very life that runs through your church, Lord. And we pray today in the name of Jesus that you would open our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches and what the Spirit is saying to each of us as individuals. Would you open your word to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I'm going to read this out. It's only 12 verses, and then we're going to look at what this amazing picture is saying. Then it says, he brought me back to the door of the temple, and behold, water was issuing from below the threshold of the temple. The threshold is like the kind of the floor just as you go into a building, towards the east, for the temple faced east. And the water was flowing down from below the south end of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar. Then he brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gate that faces towards the east. And behold, the water was trickling out on the south side. Going on eastward with a measuring line in his hand, the man measured 1,000 cubits, and that's about 1,000 feet. And then led me through the water, and it was ankle deep. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was knee deep. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was waist deep. Again, he measured 1,000. It was a river that I could not pass through, for the water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be passed through. And he said to me, son of man, have you seen this? Then he led me back to the bank of the river. And as I went back, I saw on the bank of the river very many trees on the one side and on the other. And he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah. That's the south deserty part of Israel. And enters the sea. And that sea is the Dead Sea. And when the water flows into the sea, the water will become fresh. And wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live. And there will be very many fish, for this water goes there, that the water of the sea may become fresh. So everything will live where the river goes. Fishermen will stand beside the sea from En Gedi to En Eglaim. and it will be a place for the spreading of nets. Its fish will be of very many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. That's the Mediterranean. But its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They are to be left for salt. And on the banks, on both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail. But they will bear fresh fruit every month, because the water for them flows from the sanctuary. And their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing. So we're going to just have a look at this, what this this parable in this passage might mean for us. It starts with these wonderful words. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple. And, you know, many times in our lives, God has to bring us back somewhere, doesn't he? Do you remember to the day when we were praying, when we were enjoying God, when church was fun, when we were excited about Jesus? You know, often I find in my life God's bringing me back. But the main place he has to bring me back to is to the door of the temple. And why is that important? Because the temple is the place where God lived. The Bible says we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Not this building, but we as a people, when we gather together. And don't you feel it? I feel it on Sunday mornings. The moment we're gathered together, whether it's in the prayer meeting or whether it's as people start to meet outside, there's something about God's people together where God is so delighted to dwell among us. He brought me back to the door of the temple where he could be found. And behold, water was issuing out from below the threshold of the temple. I think this is really important. Behold, water was issuing out from below the threshold. It's interesting that water will always find its way downwards, won't it? If you have a leak in the top of the house, it's going to flood your house. It's going to destroy the ceiling, destroy the floor, go down to the next one. It will always find its way down. And I do believe that the more we are humble and dependent on God and honest and into Jesus and not into ourselves, the more the water of the Holy Spirit will find his way into our lives and through our lives. And it's such a battle, isn't it? Because we're all so proud. And me in particular. I can say that because I know myself pretty well. And it's something that you don't even see. It's like that thing that somebody else sees on your face and you don't see yourself, until you look in the mirror and you see it there. But very often we don't even see the pride in our lives. May God open up our eyes to see that. But we want the water to be coming down as we make a place for God. This is also a picture of prayer. Because if we're not in touch with God, and prayer is the means that we are in touch with God. If you don't pray, you don't have God in your life. Yes, you may have been born again by the Spirit of God, and yes, he dwells there, but in reality, every day, if we are not communicating with God, he has no access to our lives. And so he doesn't really bother to overflow in our lives, and we need him. There was a story that Joe and I were looking at. There was a missionary who went to China called Jonathan Goforth. Amazing, amazing story of this man, the sacrifice, the pain that he went through, but through laying down his life and his wife and his family, laying down their lives, the whole of a province in China was reached by the gospel. And the guy who'd gone before him into China was someone called Hudson Taylor. And he formed the China Inland Mission. And he was at the very end of his life. And they'd not reached that province. And Jonathan Goforth, I think, wrote to him, or he heard, that he wanted to go, by God's grace, and reach that most difficult part of China. And so the elderly Hudson Taylor, many miles away, picked up his pen and wrote to Jonathan Goforth. And this is what he said to him. He said, "Brother, if you would enter that province, you must go forward on your knees. You must go forward on your knees." And we know that here at Bassett Street Church, if there is any future for us, we will go forward on our knees. One of the exciting things that things develop is that prayer meetings are springing up. As Luke was saying this morning, there's the Tuesday night prayer meeting. There's the Friday morning prayer meeting, which Monica started up just a couple of months ago. And on Sunday morning, 9:30, a few of us are praying in the Rainbow Room just behind there. And then at 10 to 10, sometimes a dozen children and teenagers are getting together upstairs. And every Sunday, they're crying out to God. And they're saying, "We depend on you. We want you in what we're doing." So the water was flowing down through humility and prayer. And then we get this strange thing of the being led by this man through the water. And interestingly enough, he's like measuring it out for him. And the first thing it says, the man measured 1,000 cubits and then led me through the water, and it was ankle deep. How many of you can remember the first time you saw the sea? I remember as a child so clearly going on holiday to Cornwall. The moment, you know, we're looking in the car on the way down, like kind of to see the sea. Who's going to be the first to see the sea? And then you see it. And then you can't wait to get down there. And your mum and dad, they want to like unpack the car and get everything sorted out. And you just want to race down to the sea. And if you run into the sea with your bare feet, hopefully. And it's easy, isn't it? Splash, 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 splash. And then you go a little further, and it's not so easy. And then you go a little further, and it's much slower. And then you go a lot further, and you might drown. So there's a progression there. And the first thing is ankle deep. And it's talking about how God wants us to go on with him. Let's pray that doing this Alpha course together, that we will go on with God. It'll be not only a means of us getting to know each other, growing in love for one another, growing in community, but also growing in our relationship with God, because he is waiting all the time. It's like our lungs are here and the air is there, and all we have to do is breathe in. But God is like that air, always wanting to enter our being, always wanting to take us on with him. And then, as I said, you go into your knees, and then the next thing is it says that it was waist deep. And then finally it says he measured 1,000. So before, just dwelling on these first things, it's all about resistance, isn't it? You know, the water is like there and you have to get through it and it gets slower. And I think that this is what God does, is that he puts resistance in our ways. He puts tricky things in our paths, difficult things. He tries to get our attention. He wants us to pray about things. And when we can't get any further, we can either stop where we are and give up, or we can go on our knees. Maybe you're sitting down and you're still on your knees. Standing up and you're on your knees. We're on our knees in our hearts, aren't we? And we're saying, God, I cannot do this by myself. Lord, help me to do it. It's the only way forward, isn't it? Things are difficult. We pray to God. So I've said before, I think that the gift of anxiety is to, it's like a trigger that says, pray. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. I'll be honest, there were a couple of things this week that I was really worried about. And I went to God in prayer. But it took me about 2 days to get there. I'd forgotten to pray about those things. I was really anxious, really weighed down by them. And the moment I just spent a bit of time and said, God, could you help me with this? Woof, the burden lifts. And on I go. I go forward through prayer. And then it says, it was a river I could not pass through. And sometimes we get really difficult situations. Do you want to put up the next Hudson Taylor quote, Ed, there, if you can see it? There we are. This great man, Hudson Taylor, said this. One of the famous things he said is, there are 3 stages to every great work of God. First, it's impossible. Then, it's difficult. Then, it's done. And I've read his biography a couple of times, actually, and you find they went through terrible times, so difficult, so impossible, so stressful. There was a time when he was holed up in Parliament Road in Islington, and he'd come to England to try and prayerfully, in a sense, raise funds and get more missionaries to go out to China. And he broke his back on the way, or did something terrible to his back on the way over on the ship. And all he could do was pray. He was actually lying down in that bed, and he got his friends to put up a huge map of China in front of him, and he could do nothing but pray. And that was the next great breakout of the China Inland Mission. And every time he learned that he had the terrible time, there was going to be a great time coming. And so we mustn't stop in the face of difficulties. They're there to get us to push in to God. And so it is with this river. It's like, you know, you've got your feet on the ground. And somehow God wants in the end to get our feet on the ground so that we are completely trusting in him. That the river will take the weight of our bodies and lift us. And we can swim, and it's the only thing to do. Of course, if you don't take your feet off the ground, you die. Because it says, for the waters had risen. And so it's kind of, sometimes we reach that point, drown or swim, and you know you've got to make that decision. Several years ago, Joe and I had a business for about 25 years, and it was really tough much of the time. We'd chosen to start in the printing industry just as it was going into decline. And so for 25 years, we were innovating, finding ways to keep our business going. We had many really miraculous answers to prayer, that God provided thousands of pounds for us just to survive. But we never really made it in that business. And in the end, we only had about a week's holiday that year. And we were down on Pagham Harbour Beach on the south coast. And as we sat on that beach, I said to Joe, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. And, you know, our business was holding up our lives. It was holding up our lives in the church. We couldn't give ourselves to God's work in the way that we wanted to do. But we knew there was a big risk involved, that if we said that, we were going to have to sell the business, and the likelihood of getting enough money from that business to come out of it reasonably without being completely broke was quite small. But in a way, we were squeezed to that point where we said to God, whatever. You ever said that to him? Whatever. Great words to say to God. Whatever you want, it's not worth the pain. We're just going to sell the business, whatever the consequence. If we lose everything, we lose everything. And that was, in a way, us taking our feet off the ground, and then we had to swim. And it was a wonderful journey, because once we were in the water swimming with God, he provided amazingly. Amazingly, where he found a buyer, a guy who was in Portugal, who I knew in Covent Garden where my business was, who decided he wanted to leave Portugal, come back to Covent Garden. The only thing he knew was printing. And it was in the area that he was in. So it was very comfortable for him. I don't know if there was another person in the world that would have wanted to buy my business at that time. But God provided, and he paid a reasonable sum, and we were able to get out of it without being too damaged. God heard our prayer, but we had to swim. And here we are at Bassett Street Church. Some of the congregation have been here many years. New Life Church, many years history. We've done things certain ways. Some people are tired out. And yet God has got a new thing that he wants to do. And our feet may be still on the ground of our existence. We've been so used to surviving, doing so much, giving God that amount of our life. But we don't want to risk giving the whole of our lives to him. But I believe there is a work ahead, because the river is flowing. And God is saying to you, will you take your feet off the ground and give your life to me for whatever I have for you? There are three things that in the next 3 weeks, by God's grace, Bob and Luke and I want to share. And it's about the vision. You got those three things there, that overhead, upward, inward, and outward. And actually, we've had this vision for many years. And if you go to the old Kentish Town Evangelical Church website or the old New Life website, or indeed the Rev and the RM thing, you'll find these things in their DNA. And we used to call it loving God, loving one another, and loving the lost, or reaching the lost. And they are really fundamental to everything we believe. As a church, we are finding our vision, and we are praying that God will bring out of the church vision for different things. Some people in the church are thinking about starting a mothers and toddlers group. Other people are talking about an after schools club. Some people want to do coffee for the old people in the area. Some people are thinking about doing something for where English isn't their first language. And all of them are amazing opportunities. And we're trying to follow God really to find the detail. But this is the big picture. And we need the balance of these three things in our lives. We need to be people who love God. That for God, He is the first and only and most important thing. The person on whom we rely. And our relationship with God is the most important thing. The second thing is that we need to be a safe place where there is an immense amount of love in this church, where there is kindness, where there is tolerance, where there is patience, where there is gentleness and long-suffering, so that people can come in and they think, oh, this is cool. They're going to love me here. There's room to grow. We accept all sorts of weird and wonderful people because we are weird and wonderful people. That's what we want to be. And so this first thing is the river, isn't it? This is the upward thing. And then it says, he said to me, this water flows towards the eastern region, goes down into the Arabah, the south country, and enters the sea. And when the water flows into the sea, the water will become fresh. And wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live. Wherever this river goes, wherever we as a church, with that river of God flowing out of our hearts go, there is an opportunity to bring life to that which is dead. I once went to the Sea of Galilee. I think I was 19 after school. I'd just become a Christian. There was an opportunity to go and stay with some people in Israel. You can't really see that there, but that little black thing there is the Sea of Galilee. And it's a beautiful sea. It's full of fish, lovely place to swim. And then later on, we went down to the Dead Sea, which is a terrible place. People like to swim in that too, just so people can get a picture of them to put on their Instagram or whatever it is. And you float, like you can hardly keep your body. It's so salty, it's poisonous, it's disgusting. And there are showers on the beach. So as soon as you get out, you can shower off and get this horrible, slimy, oily stuff. Because the water is only flowing in. And we don't want to be a church like that, do we? We want to be a church where our praises are going up. Our lives are reaching out to one another. And we are going out to the world, carrying this precious river and taking life wherever we go. And it says, and there will be very many fish. And we believe that this, as we've been praying down the years in our prayer meeting, that this has been really a prophetic word, that God will bring many fish. And its fish will be of very many kinds. You know, God has put us in an international, multicultural city. And it's so lovely to be in a church where there's people that are older than me. There's babies being born. There's kids running around. And we are all of many different backgrounds. It's going to be like the church in heaven, isn't it? And it's just a little reflection of that. There will be many kinds of fish. And then it says verses 9 and 10, there will be very many fish. The fishermen will stand beside the sea from En-Gedi to En-Eglaim. This is the Dead Sea. And it will be a place with the spreading of nets. And fishermen do not spread their nets in the Dead Sea. You don't do that. But we are going to be spreading our nets as a church. And the reason, one of the reasons we want to do Alpha in this season, it's an incredible net. And if you put up the next overhead, the next slide, there we are. There's Old Bear Grylls. sitting on the Alpha Course thing, the Alpha Course question mark. One of the reasons that we want to do Alpha, Alpha is not everything, and there are so many different ways of reaching people. Very often it's going to be us befriending that person at work, praying for them, helping people out in situations, sharing the gospel, and then they just come to Jesus. But the Alpha Course has been very successful and used by God. In 2020, 23 million people in the world had done the Alpha Course. And that's a conservative estimate. And it just started as a little Bible study discipleship group in Holy Trinity, Brompton. But God picked it up and decided, I'm going to use this thing. And somehow it seems to match our culture in a very good way. And it can be good. There's an amazing youth alpha. It's very good for old people. It's good. We've done an alpha for ECOS, for ESOL, for people of other languages. It's so adaptable. And as we start to reach out to old people in the area, we start to reach out to the young people. As we start to reach out to mothers and toddlers, we just kind of feel that if we have this alpha course running there in the background, we'll be able to say, oh, we've got this amazing thing going. Would you like to come in it? And some people say, oh, I can't come in the evening. Oh, that's fine. We've got one at lunchtime. We've got one in the day. And we just wanted to be a tool that everybody, if possible, in the church would have tasted. I've done Alpha many times. And every time I do it, it's so exciting. When we used to do it with St. Luke's and share a table, there was a Rev table, St. Luke's table, New Life table. It was such fun to do it. And it was the best part of my week because I felt, God, this is what I'm here for. This is what I should be doing, reaching those that don't know you and helping them to become disciples of Jesus. So this is the outward thing. And then verse 12 says, and on the banks, both sides of the river, there will be all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, their fruit nor their fruit fail. They will bear fresh fruit every month. This is a picture of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Don't you love the fruit of the Holy Spirit? They're such wonderful things. Love. We all want love, don't we? It drives our lives very often, doesn't it? Many people's lives are driven by the hope that somebody might love them. Sometimes we're quite insecure. I think I'm quite an insecure person. Certainly when I became a Christian, I was a very insecure person. And I read over the years, very often my behavior was trying to gain acceptance and love from people. We have such a cry in our hearts to be loved. And the Holy Spirit, this river, brings love. Joy. Do you know, it says somewhere in the Bible, it's Psalm 47, isn't it? It says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. I love that verse. It's all in the Holy Spirit. You know, the fish are in the river. The fish, that's where you find fish, in this river of God, this river of the Holy Spirit. We're going to find people, the people that we want to reach. It says somewhere in the Bible that peace is like a river as well. How wonderful that people with mental health issues would come into this church and go out feeling just a peace in their hearts. It's all in the river. Long suffering, gentleness, you know, amazing things. Self-control. Oh, not that one. Yes, it's in the river. It's in the Holy Spirit and we need it. Now, where does this come from? And I want to just come back at the end now, finally, to the place where we began. Ezekiel 47, verse 12, the end of this passage, it says, their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail, but they will bear fresh fruit every month. Because the water for them flows where from? Our river, it doesn't just appear. It comes from the sanctuary. And the final verse there says, actually, verse 12 says, their fruit will be for food and their leaves for healing. We really want this. Don't you want this place to be a place where people can be fed with the word of God, with something that the only thing that satisfies in life, and that there would be healing? That literally people who've been suffering with physical sicknesses, we have testimonies all the time of people getting better. Don't you think it's a miracle that we get better? I've been through a couple of issues this year, health issues, and I'm just so glad that you get better. The natural thing is you get worse, but we get better. That's the way God has made it. But we as Christians get even better because we have the healer in our lives. And from Genesis to Revelation, all the way through, God is healing people. And we want it not to just to be that we believe in healing. We want the presence of the healing God to be in our midst, and that people just have stories of maybe partial healing, complete healing, but all the time healing, people getting better, that it might bring glory to God. And people will come because there is a kind God upon this earth. And then back to the beginning. Ezekiel 47 verse 1, he brought me back to the door of the temple. And there's just that little extra verse there to really encourage each one of us today. The water was trickling out on the south side. This enormous river that reached all these fishermen, that brought life to the dead, that brought healing and food. It all started as just a little trickle of water. And I find that really encouraging. A few years ago, I felt in my heart that I was, you know, I'd lost my first love for God. And we started a prayer meeting, I don't know how many years it was, about 20 years ago. And the reason that we started that prayer meeting, as far as I was concerned, there was only one reason. And it was the words of, I think, a Matt Redman song, "There Must Be More Than This." And we just felt, God, we don't want to just do church. We don't want to just tick the charismatic boxes. We don't want to just kind of believe these things and like looking in a shop window and never experience them. And so it drove us to our knees, and only a few people gathered. But over the years, it was just a trickle. And I would say some years into that, God started to revive me, and I began to again experience a love for the lost. I wanted to recover that love, that delight in seeing people come to Jesus back again. So let's be honest this morning. We don't have to pretend that we've got this massive river running through our lives. We know we haven't, or people would be running into the church, wouldn't they? But maybe there's a trickle and some honesty. And I think that's all that God wants. So let's pray, shall we? Sandra, do you and the musicians want to just come up? We're going to sing a song about Jesus in a minute. But just before we do that, let's just take a moment to just think. Think about maybe this, you know, are we into our ankles? Anyone feel that they're kind of like into their ankles? Knees? Waist? Anybody swimming? Nobody wants to say. You don't have to say. Because actually, this is between us and God, isn't it, really? You know, but it's just being honest where I am. Actually, the best place to start is the trickle. Because we know we've all got that, don't we? Lord, there's a little trickle of life, and I want more. I want this river. And that huge river came from this trickle of life. A couple of years ago, I was in Nigeria, and I met a gentleman there who I heard preaching, and I thought, I don't know what you've got, but I want it. And I'll tell you his name. He's called Bile Akani. And what I didn't know was that this guy used to have a minister's conference in the state where he lived every Christmas time. And about 40,000 ministers would come to that conference. But I said to the leader of the church there, could I have a little word with this guy? So I went down to his house in the compound, and we just had a little time of prayer together. And so since then, I've listened to some of the things that he teaches. And just one thing stuck out to me is, and he said, I don't mind going to churches where there are very few people, because everything God does, everything mighty that God does, starts with something small. So we don't have to be embarrassed that it's only a small amount in our hearts. God can do mighty things. So yeah, let's pray.